Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Welcome this morning or today, probably by the time you get this. It's been so much fun trying to configure. Sometimes things just don't always work out as we want. But huge thanks to the team at the back here, production crew, in a very short notice, COVID lockdown. So grateful for the team and to be able to at least get this message to you. Future weeks we'll communicate exactly what's going on with that. All that aside, let's open the Word of God and find real encouragement today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, right now, I'm praying that wherever people are, find them and help them to receive from your word this morning. Lord Jesus, open up their hearts and their minds and their spirits to the word of God. And thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the next 20 minutes, I want to take you through a passage that's one of our readings for this week. Around Zacchaeus. What an amazing passage this is. And again, how incredible it is that these texts that are thousands of years old speak to us today. I want to unpack that story of Zacchaeus. Because he says here, he hurried down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they grumbled. I want to look at the difference between a joyful response to what Jesus is doing and a grumbling response to what Jesus is doing. And it's that question, is the joyful or the grumbler this morning that I see in this passage? Let me go through it. I'm going to read the passage to you and then come and unpack some really fun things. This is Luke 19, verse 1. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down." And he came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. But if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." What a great story of salvation and new beginnings. So let me unpack that for you, because today I really believe this is going to speak to you about how you respond to Jesus, whether it's salvation and new beginnings, or whether it's just the journey of life that we find ourselves in. This has so much in it for everybody. So back to verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. It says he didn't really intend to stop there. He was traveling from the north down to Jerusalem. It's actually his last journey into Jerusalem. And he comes through Jericho, which is a little bit odd because it's out of the way, but it's coming back in towards Jerusalem. And he meets Zacchaeus up a tree, which is odd. But we read here that he's a chief tax collector and was rich. Zacchaeus is a Jewish name. We know that he's a Jew. He's one of God's family, Abraham's family. And we also know that he's a tax collector, but not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. Now, he's working for the enemy. At this stage, the Romans are controlling Jerusalem and all the region of Israel. They're occupying that nation. And so anyone who goes to work for the occupiers is very much looked down upon, particularly if they're collecting money off their local people and channeling it back to the Romans. You can imagine how you might feel quite offended by that It's almost that sense of being a spy. You're working for the opposition in your land, almost against the other people. And so the tax collectors who were Jewish, they really were pushed aside. They were outcasts in society because they were seen to be working for the enemy. But Zacchaeus was curious about Jesus. He'd obviously heard about Jesus. Jesus had been ministering for around 3 years by now. And he heard this rumor that Jesus and his friends were traveling through. And so he ran ahead and he was seeking to see Jesus. I love this. It doesn't matter what place you are in society. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, working for the enemy or part of the establishment. See, his heart was, I want to seek Jesus because Jesus is holding something that I need and I want. And so because he's short, he climbs a tree. Many people would know this story and climbed up. And then Jesus came to that place in verse 5 and looked up. So Jesus notices people's heart. He notices when people are seeking him, even here, even today. If you're seeking Jesus, he's going to notice your heart. He's going to come to where you are. He's going to find out where you're sitting, standing, or up a tree. And he says to him, Zacchaeus. He uses his name. He knows each of us by name. Zacchaeus, hurry, come down. I must stay at your house today. Incredible. The God of the universe, the one who gathers the outcast, gathers this wealthy man and brings him in and says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to come into your world today. Zacchaeus, I'm going to move into your place. I'm going to change everything. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to restore you back to your people. I'm going to embrace you. And Zacchaeus rushed down. He hurried down in verse 6 and came down and received him joyfully. What a thrill for Zacchaeus to have a new beginning, to have somebody accept him at last, to have someone who's even just wanting to come and be his friend and hang out in his house. Zacchaeus is joyful. He's full of joy. Now, I love this word joy. You see, joy means to rejoice and be glad. It's to be thrilled regardless of circumstance, to have this deep inner gladness no matter what is going on around the outside, no matter what panic is setting in, no matter what people are looking in, no matter what people are accusing you or making life difficult for you. You see, we can have this deep joy on the inside. And Scripture is full of people who carried this same deep joy. It's amazing. We know a lot about Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament. And Paul writes to the Philippians from a Roman jail. And he expresses the joy that he finds. He says, finally, my brothers, rejoice or find joy in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it is safe for you. He says this from a jail, from a place that is really difficult. A Roman, he's probably chained to another guard. And he's encouraging people to find joy no matter what circumstances. A bit later on in that same book in Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice in the Lord, always. Again, I will say, rejoice. You see, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Don't rejoice in your freedom. Don't rejoice in your bank account. Don't rejoice in your family. Don't rejoice in the good things that are around you. Actually rejoice in the Lord. That means in. So when we find our joy in God all the time, it actually doesn't matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. Paul was able to find the greatest joy actually questioning life itself. I think he was just really struggling with life, but yet still able to portray deep joy because something was inside of him that he could find joy in. You can always find joy. You can always find joy no matter what circumstance you're facing. That's what Zacchaeus found. He found deep joy, even though when he received it, there's all these people around him questioning him, accusing him, pointing fingers at him. He found joy in Jesus. I tell you, there's a word for you right there today. You know, the world seems to be closing in and strange things are happening and you're getting locked down and maybe you've got questions around COVID and world and the week ahead and work and homeschooling and kids and whatever it is that's eating away in you. You know what? You can find joy. You can find real joy no matter what circumstance you find, even in prison, even in a dark place. However, not all of them found joy. It's funny. In verse 7, when Zacchaeus is coming down from that tree, filled with joy, and he's going in, and Jesus is coming to meet at his place, it says this, when they saw it, they all grumbled. He's gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. You see, his reputation had gone before him. And so the grumbling starts. Literally means a crowd that murmurs. It's a crowd that all starts to grumble and whisper. They're actually grumbling at the good. An amazing thing has happened. Somebody has found Christ. Somebody's life is about to get turned around. But they grumble. Who's the they? It's the crowd. It's the leading Jews. It's the people who are wanting to be all right and good and wholesome. And when they see grace poured out on somebody, this man doesn't deserve the grace of God. This man doesn't deserve attention. This man deserves to be outcast and shut away. How come God likes him? How come God's doing this to him? It's the grumbling. It's not right. It's not proper. It's not the way things are done. It's not cricket, we say around here. But see, Jesus is doing an incredible thing, but the crowd is grumbling at the good. And I was thinking to myself during the week, what's wrong with grumbling anyway? We all have a good grumble sometimes. We probably had one yesterday. James 5 verse 9 says this. It says, do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Just behold, the judge is standing at the door. I thought, wow, do you know what grumbling is? Grumbling is a judgment on something. So we grumble about what's happening in the news. We grumble about what's happening in our workplace. We grumble about what our boss might have done or said. And we're actually drawing a judgment and say, well, if I was that person, I wouldn't have done it like that. And so we have a grumble. Or if this situation was like that and I was in charge, it wouldn't be like that. And so we're putting ourselves in the place of judgment. It's a scary place to be because God judges us as we judge others. We've got to be so careful about what comes out of our mouth and what's in our heart and our attitudes. We can actually pass judgment on good things. Like this crowd, this man had just been restored into God's family and they're grumbling. They're passing judgment on Jesus. He said, well, if I was God, I wouldn't accept this person. What a tragedy that's happening right here. And the choice there to judge others is right. It's tangible. It's easy, isn't it? It's easy to grumble. It's easy to complain. But Paul, again, from a Roman jail in Philippians 2:14 says this. He says, do all things without grumbling or disputing or complaining, some translations say. Do all things without grumbling or complaining so that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. You see, the grumblers don't shine, but the joyful do. Grumblers don't act, they just complain. But the joyful shine. Zacchaeus shone. We still read his story. We still know his name, but did you see the name of the grumblers? No, it's just they. They don't even have a name anymore. The grumblers disappear. But the joyful shine. Their stories rise above the situations. They make progress. They make way because there's something on the inside of them that gives them life and fuels their energy. And they're filled with joy no matter what circumstances they find. Do all things without grumbling. But Zacchaeus, what happened to Zacchaeus? He found Christ and he stood and he said to the Lord, behold, this is verse 8, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. He gave all his stuff away. He didn't have to. There's some laws that says give a little bit, but he went above and beyond. See, the joyful act, the grumblers complain. The joyful then find themselves with reason to give, to serve, to love, to bless. That's why they shine. Zacchaeus shone. He gave out and he did all these things. And he restored anything that had been, you know, fraudulent. And then salvation comes because he's also a son of Abraham. I tell you, as we finish off, this idea of choosing joy or choosing to grumble, Jesus is walking by right now. And he's able to come in. It's like you got to catch him. What would you do? Jesus is coming by right now. He's coming by your heart. He's coming by your house. He really is by the Holy Spirit. You're going to choose to jump in and find your joy in him. Or are you going to keep complaining about the things that are around you, the things that are easy to grumble, complain, but actually in the midst of challenging times, you can go, let's grab Jesus as he walks by. Let's get in and rejoice in him. Let's find our fullness of life in him, no matter what. It's a choice. You can grumble at the most joyful things and you can be joyful when others grumble. What's it going to be for you today, even this week? I'm going to ask Ro to come and finish off and just pray for you before we end the service. Thanks, Ro.
Thanks, Jeff. You know, we have a moment right now. Hopefully the house is still quiet. And you can just take a minute to just stop and personally connect with God. Personally just sit there, close your eyes and just talk to him. You know, there may be some things that you want to say sorry about. You kind of think, oh, in all this COVID, I've been doing too much. Or, you know, it might be something else that's unrelated. You might just want to talk to him and just say sorry. And just ask him to touch you, to just realign your heart so that you can find that joy in him. That's the thing that just pours through you and infects the people around you and just is that light that's shining. Wherever you're communicating, whatever's going on. So I want to pray, but I also want to just ask, if you're watching right now and you have felt like an outcast, you felt like you don't fit, you felt like that you're not good enough, and you've just realized that Jesus can notice you. In that space, listen. He wants to come back to your house. He wants to come there right now. He says, let me come in. And in that space right now, he can bring joy into your heart because for the first time, you can feel loved by the creator of the universe. If you're feeling that right now, you know, talk to him. The words that come into your heart, communicate that with him and let him bring that joy into you.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.